Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what a joy it is to be in this Easter season with you. We have left behind the nasty weather of Lent. It's beautiful outside. The flowers are blooming. The trees are budding. It's nice to be outside. We've turned away from all this reflection on our sin, on fasting, on lamenting and grieving. We've turned away from all of this sad, sour, dark season of Lent, and we've turned to the season of Easter, which is filled with celebration and feasting. It's filled with alleluias. Indeed, alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. It's good to be in this season. It's good to be out of a season where we're giving up things for Lent. Did any of you do that? Give something up for Lent? I know that this has become sort of a thing. Lots of people like to do this. Some people give up chocolate. Some people give up ice cream or potato chips. Some people, Catholics, give up red meat for Lent and thereby provide these wonderful fish fry Fridays, lavish meals that even a lot of Lutherans have gotten on board with. They're quite tasty, and I've enjoyed a few myself. My boys gave up YouTube on their phones for Lent, which was a serious deal because, well, they could have used to spend a little bit less time on YouTube on their phone. My wife and I decided this past Lent to give up alcohol for the most part, to give up alcohol in the evenings when it was just us, and to limit ourselves as much as possible during social occasions. I told a friend about this, a mature Christian, an astute theologian, and his response after hearing that I had given up alcohol for Lent was, "That's ridiculously stupid." Dear friends, the more I've thought about it, the more I think he might be right. And I want to think with you a little bit this morning about this discipline of giving things up for Lent, especially as we turn ourselves toward this season of Easter. Now that we're out of this season of Lent, I can rest assured that nobody is probably going to try to stone me here in the pulpit because I'm tempting them to break their Lenten fast. But I do want to think about it for future Lents, but especially for the season of Easter. And I want to do so by focusing actually on our epistle lesson this morning. In fact, would you open up your pew Bible in the pew in front of you to the Epistle to Colossians, Paul's epistle to the Colossians. We're not just going to look at our pericope, but we're going to take a little walk through Paul's epistle to the Christians in Colossae. It's on page 983 if you're flipping around for Colossians, page 983 in your pew Bible. Look especially at verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2. Paul starts out his epistle by addressing his readers, his hearers, by saying this, "To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae." How easy it is to skip over those two little words, "in Christ." How simple those two little words, "in Christ," are, and yet how profound. Paul develops a whole theology in his epistles around these two words, what it means for us to be in Christ. It defines our entire identity. Our salvation is in Christ. Our justification is in Christ. We are not far from God. We are in Christ. It changes everything that we do. It impacts every single minute of every single day that we live. We are, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in Christ. And what does this mean, the good Lutheran question? What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, scan with me just a little bit further down the column to verses 13 and 14 of chapter 1. He, that is the Father, if you notice just above in verse 12, He, the Father, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He has delivered us. That word in the Greek is eriseto. It means to rescue, to get somebody who is in a place of danger to a place of safety. He delivered us from the domain of darkness. Now that sounds a little ethereal. What is this domain of darkness? In the Greek, the word domain is exousia. The same word that Jesus says in Matthew 28, all exousia, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Paul says that we have been delivered or rescued from an authority, a dominion, a domain of darkness, the realm of our enemy, a divine rescue mission that the Father sent His Son on to rescue us out of this horrible place of darkness and to transfer us, it says. Metestesen. It can sometimes be used to talk about the deposing of a ruler. A ruler that is on a throne is deposed, is brought off the throne, is gotten out of there. The picture here for us is that there's a ruler on a throne, and we are taken out from under his dominion and domain. The word can even be used for transplanted. We've been put into a whole new place. We don't live in a domain of darkness and dread and fear of Satan. We live, as Luther said, under Christ and in his kingdom. It's a kingdom not of darkness, but of light. A kingdom not of death, but of life. It's a kingdom of redemption and forgiveness. Most of the rest of chapter 1 and chapter 2, Paul is elaborating on this theme of what has happened to us, what it means for us to live in Christ. But dear brothers and sisters in Christ, make no mistake. This transfer, this taking out of, this rescuing, it didn't happen because you gave up something for Lent. It didn't happen because of your own doing. It's in fact not something that you could do for yourself. You had to be rescued. You had to be delivered because you couldn't get yourself out of there. And so, giving up something for Lent has nothing to do with this new reality that we have in Christ. Paul says, if you flip the page with me to chapter 2, verse 12, if you're wondering, how did this concretely happen? When did this happen to me? Paul says, chapter 2, verse 12, having been buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. See, this power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power working in you. Your life, all your sins, they were put to death with Christ. And this new reality is that you are raised to new life. Someday, Christ is going to appear, and he is going to raise all people to new life. And we will have resurrected bodies, and it will be glorious. But that reality of new life is yours even today. It is your new reality. You are in Christ. You are raised from the dead. This is called realized eschatology. What will happen in the future has already happened to you. You have already been raised to new life. And so this means a lot for life in the day-to-day. Look with me at chapter 2, verse 20. Paul writes, "If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, the domain of darkness, Satan himself, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, don't eat potato chips, don't eat ice cream, don't drink wine." Referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom. Sounded pretty good to me to give up alcohol for Lent. These have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. What Paul is really concerned about is not those things outside of us, chocolate and ice cream and Barolo wine. What Paul is really concerned about is the sin within. The sin within, the darkness that we sometimes encourage and almost act as if it's still alive. But Paul says, put it to death. Our pericope says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things on the earth. And so he says in verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Far better than giving something up for Lent is dying to the things which are part of the domain of darkness. That's part of our resurrected new life. Not something that we have to do for ourselves. We don't have to give up something for God. He gave himself up for us when he gave up his very life on the cross and was raised to new life. That life is your life. That reality is your reality. You are in Christ. So put to death the things that are of the domain of darkness. And rejoice. We live in a season of Easter. We live in a season of life under Christ in his kingdom. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen.